enjoyed that very much. The book of Galatians is a wonderful book of the Bible. It's one of my favorite books. The entire book of Galatians is a defense of salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen? Salvation is not in church membership. Salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is not by taking communion. Salvation is not by the sacraments. Salvation is not doing good works. Salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ladies and gentlemen, if you're trusting in anything outside of Jesus Christ, listen to me, you need to change that. You need to trust in Jesus and Him alone. Not what you did, not what you do for Him, but what He did for you. Stories told of a young man who was stirred at invitation. And by the way, there was a young man here today that was stirred at invitation. I'm going to try to make it my business this week to visit him and give him the gospel. When somebody raises their hand, it means God's dealing with them. By the way, it doesn't mean we drag them forward and make them pray. They have to want to do that. Amen. But God's dealing with... So the story is told about a young man who was being dealt with during an invitation, and he came forward, and the pastor exhorted people to come, and he said, "Please come and be saved." And the young man came forward and he said to the pastor, he said, "What can I do to go to heaven?" And the pastor said, "I'm sorry, son, you're too late." And the man was already being dealt with, the young man, he broke out in tears. He said, "What do you mean I'm too late?" He said, "I'm sorry, that was a poor choice of words. You're too late to do anything. It's already all been done." Jesus said on the cross, His sixth cross utterance, "Telelestai, it is finished." Amen. And it is finished. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." The key verse in Galatians is found near the door or the beginning. If you go back just a couple pages, you find Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. Look at your Bibles with me, please. Galatians 1:8 is the key verse of Galatians. Paul says this, "Though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." You say, why? What is the meaning? Why is that the key to this book of the Bible, Pastor? What was happening here is that certain Jews were adding circumcision and the keeping of the law to salvation. They said, if you didn't get circumcised or you didn't keep the law, you weren't saved. And forgive me, it's in the original Greek. If you look it up, Paul said hogwash. Look it up. Amen. Hogwash. Amen. He said, no. Salvation is Jesus Christ received personally, plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. And he said, he went so far as to say, if I come back and tell you something else, or if an actual angel descends out of heaven and tells you another gospel, he said, let him be accursed. And that word literally means let him be damned to the place called hell. It's a serious word. I remember I was out visiting one time, and I met a wonderful charismatic lady. And those of you who have been saved a little while, you know what that is. Just a charismatic lady, went to an apostolic church. Godly people, love the Lord. I remember she said, I was telling about our church, and she said, "Are you full gospel?" And I said, oh yeah, death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. We believe in it all. Amen. Full gospel. I thought they were talking about something else. I said, that's the only gospel. Amen. Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead. Amen. So here, Paul is defending the faith. And he brings us to our text. And Paul is telling us the positive and negative reasons for the law. Look at chapter 3. It says there in verse 21 that the law was not given for salvation. Is the law against the prophecies of God? God forbid. For there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So God, as He gave us the Old Testament, He gave us that moral law, He gave us all the laws that go along that we see. It was not given to save us. There's only one person that's ever kept the law. Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law. I'm come because I'm the only one that can fulfill it. And I am going to fulfill it. And not only am I going to fulfill it, I'm going to fulfill every jot and tittle. And the old Bible commentator, he said, the jot is the dotting of an I, and a tittle is the crossing of a T. I'm going to dot every I and cross every T. I'm going to fulfill it all. So the law was not given for salvation. Verse 22 teaches us the law was given to reveal our sinfulness. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 24, we already mentioned it, but we'll mention it again. The law was given to show us our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you came to Christ, you look at yourself and how you had broken God's law. The fact that, and by the way, it's okay to say amen, the fact that you saw God's righteous law and you said, I'm a sinner. I have broken that law. And for some of us, we had to say, I've broken many of those laws. God used that to be our schoolmaster, to show us that we needed Jesus. We needed Him as our Savior and as our Lord. No man had ever kept the whole law. Jesus fulfilled the righteous demands of the law. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is... You know what Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9? Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He fulfilled, He paid the wage. The price of redemption was blood. Amen. The Bible teaches that all through the Old Testament. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, the key to heaven is righteousness. You read in Revelation 21:27, it talks about how there's nothing unrighteous that'll enter in. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him, the Father hath made the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, the only reason you and I get to go to heaven is not because we've been baptized. And it's not because we pass out tracts and do good things. It's because Jesus paid the wages of sin, Jesus paid the price of redemption, and Jesus gave us the key to heaven, which is righteousness. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Jesus lived the life that I could never live. And He died the most gruesome death that I would never have to die and pay for my sins in hell. Praise His holy name tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I want to focus your attention on chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 4 through 7. And this is a great message in itself. And there's an outline here. You find out in chapter 4 who came, or chapter 4, verse 4, who came. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. And then it says, when He came. He came in the fullness of the time. Oh, I know that there were the scoffers back then, Brother Boston, just like today. Well, they've been saying he's going to come for 2,000 years. I'm sure there were the Jewish scoffers after Isaiah was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." I'm sure the scoffers were there then too. That's got to be one of the dumbest things you've ever written, Isaiah. A virgin shall be with child. Are you kidding me? And what happened, ladies and gentlemen? When the fullness of the time was come. You think about that. Oh, there's an entire message you could preach on that. The fullness of the time. You know what? There were some things that had to happen. Greece had to conquer the known world. And the language of the day became Greek, which our New Testament is written in. And then Rome had to conquer Greece because the roads of Rome would go out to the whole world and make it possible for a little young married couple named Mary and Joseph to have to come to pay their taxes. They rode on Rome's roads. Amen. All that had to happen. And so what was the fullness of the time? The fullness of the time. Who came? When He came? How He came? I love this. It says right there in verse 4, "The fullness of the time was come. God sent forth His Son made of a woman." That's the virgin birth, ladies and gentlemen. That's the virgin birth of Jesus right there. He was made of a woman. Never before since has a man been only made of a woman. Amen? The Holy Ghost in Mary. Why He came. Oh, it says it right there. "Made under the law," verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law." And this brings us to our text and title, verse 6. Or the end of verse 5, it says, "that we might receive the adoption of sons." And then in verse 6 it says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Many will tell you of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. God is every man's father and all men are brothers. Folks, that statement is not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. And you find it in verse 26. We mentioned this on Wednesday night. "For ye are all the children of God." Does your Bible stop there with a period? Or does it keep going? "By faith in Christ Jesus." If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a child of God. In fact, I hate to break this to you, but you're a child of the devil. Because you're a sinner without a Savior. And when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees as they were constantly criticizing Him, He said, "Look, you say you're Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children, you'd love Me. But you're of your father, the devil," He said. What a statement that is. The word Abba in our text, you see it there in verse 6. It appears 3 times in your King James Bible. It appears in Mark 14:36. It appears in Romans 8:15. And it appears here in Galatians 4:6. It's an Aramaic word, one of the few Aramaic words in your New Testament. There are some. I think of the word Maranatha. It's a great word. "Our Lord cometh." Amen. That's a great one. It's a term of affection. And it's best translated in English as the word Papa or Daddy. It's a term of affection. On January 14th, 1972, I was born at the Wesson Women's Center in Springfield, Massachusetts. Many of you know I was adopted in April of that year by my mom and my dad. And many have asked, "Do you want to find your biological parents, Pastor?" Well, I had the privilege in 2009 of meeting my biological mother. It was really a neat thing. Folks have asked me about it. This young woman who had given birth to me, it was what they call a closed and sealed adoption. And what that meant was it was illegal for this woman to try to seek me out. It was sealed, completely sealed. And I really didn't have much desire. Through the years, my parents said when I was young, had told me I was adopted, and they said something I appreciated, "We wanted you." Well, how special that is, amen. We wanted you. And you've heard me joke so many times, you know, they went into the incubator and they saw the most gorgeous, beautiful, round baby, and they said, "We'll take that one." And they said, "That one's already spoken for." I said, "Well, we'll end up with the ugly one next to it." Amen. And that was me. Amen. But in 2007, I read an article in the USA Today, and it was about how they were unsealing adoptive birth certificates. And things began to stir in my soul about that. And I looked at it, and one of the, I think there were six states that were unsealing them, and one of them was Massachusetts, where I was born. And I went to my mom, and I asked her, would this be okay? And if she said no, that was the end of it. She said, no, that'd be fine. My intention was, first of all, to say thank you for not aborting me as Roe versus Wade was working its way through the courts. And the other thing was to perhaps be able to give the gospel to this person who had given me life. And so I sent away, I paid the $29 in Massachusetts, and I sent away for my birth certificate, my pre-adoptive birth certificate, and a little while later it came certified mail to me. And I have to tell you, folks, I don't recall but a couple of times in my life being that nervous. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I was getting ready to open a letter and see a different name than the one I had known my entire life. And I opened it up, and I still have it. And I looked on it, and I loved, because I saw in pencil, it was a copy of it, but I saw in pencil in the middle, it said, "To Zavodsky." Love that. But I remember looking at it, and it had my name on there, Gregory Stepanovich. So I'm not just an adopted Polak, Mr. Jordan. I'm full blood. Amen. And I remember looking at it, and this was back in the day where you had to have an address when you gave birth. You had to have a home address and put that on the birth certificate. And so I did a little bit of Columbo work and went over to the house. It was a double, Mr. Perry. It was a two-family house. And so I looked and I saw the address, and on the mailbox it said Stepanovich. And so I went and knocked on the door. Again, probably as nervous as when I was opening the certificate. And I knocked on the door, and a young lady came to the door that was not my birth mother, but her sister-in-law. And I said, "I'm looking for Kathy Stepanovich." And she looked at me and said, "Are you Greg?" Amazing. And I said, "Well, that's the name that's on my birth certificate, but that's not me." Amen? And she took me in and she said, "I want to introduce you to your grandfather." And I had the privilege of meeting my biological mother's father that day. And then he got right on the phone like a typical, forgive me, like a typical 80-year-old. He got right on the phone and dialed her number. And I said, "Oh, I didn't, what if she didn't want to hear from me? What if she'd had a new life and didn't want to?" And so I was kind of, "Oh." Well, it turns out she did have a new life, but she did want to hear from me. And through that, we began to email each other, and we would call. It was very casual, and it still is, by the way. It's kind of at a distance, but that's okay. And it turned out she was coming up to New England to take care of some business and whatnot. And so I'd found out about it, and I said, "Well, why don't we have dinner? You can meet my parents and my wife." And Eric was born then, and Carrie was pregnant with Luke. And so there she was. I'll never forget it. It was October the 9th, 2009. I had already been voted in here as pastor, and we were just waiting for Luke to be born. October 9th, 2009, room 209, the La Quinta Inn in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. Again, probably nervous. went to the door, knocked on the door, she opened the door and burst into tears. And by the way, most of you will never have this feeling, but when you meet somebody for the very first time that you look just like, it's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. You look at this person and she's a preacher's wife. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. Her husband's a preacher. By the way, I said all that to say this. Make no mistake about it, I'm grateful for my birth mother. But that's my mom right there. And my dad is my dad. He's in heaven today, but they're my mom and dad. And many of you didn't know that, but I'm twice adopted. Because I've not only been adopted by Rich Zavodsky, but I've been adopted by God the Father when I trusted Jesus Christ. Did you know that neither time did I merit that adoption? Years ago, there walked down a street a ragged little newsboy, an orphan carrying his papers as he walked. In the big city where he lived, he passed by a beautiful mansion. The lawn was so neatly kept. The house was so impressive. The driveway so inviting. The little lad wandered up the driveway, up to the porch. And before he realized what he was doing, he rang the doorbell. Mr. Lowry, the owner of the spacious home, opened the door and looked down upon the frightened, surprised little fellow. Not knowing what to say, the ragged newsboy blurted out, "Mister, do you have a little boy?" Mr. Lowry, most amused, answered kindly, "No, son. Mrs. Lowry and I do not have any children." The youngster replied in eagerness, "Oh, I'd give everything I own if I could be your little boy and run and play on this beautiful lawn and nobody could drive me away." And then in one of those unusual providences of life, the big man, Mr. Lowry, turned and called upstairs to his wife. The queenly woman walked down the expansive stairway and stood by the side of her husband as he asked, "Dear, would you like to have a little boy?" She quickly replied, "Oh, yes." The big man turned to the lad and said, "Son, come in. Come in." As the little boy walked into the palatial home, the first thing he did was reach in his pocket and pull out 13 cents and offered his pennies to the big man and saying, "Sir, that's all I have." The big man took the little boy's hand and closed it around his 13 pennies and said, "Son, you keep them, for I have more than enough for us both." And he took the lad into his house and adopted him, and he became Mr. and Mrs. Lowry's son. That's just the way we are with God sometimes, folks. We come trying to offer Him our 13 cents of good works and righteousness and whatever our minds can conceive that God wants. But what He simply says is the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Let me give you a few of the privileges tonight of being adopted by a great dad. Adopted by a great dad. Number one, we have the privilege of fellowship. Fellowship. One of the things I missed most while I was in Bible college, when I was in Bible college, it was the only time, and since, it's the only time I've ever been out of New England. But for 4 years while I was in Bible college, I missed my dad, that I couldn't just have dinner with him. I used to go when we'd gotten home from Bible college and go and do my laundry at my parents' house. Now, we could do laundry at our house, but I liked seeing my dad. I liked being with him. I enjoyed fellowshipping with him. I just wanted to be around him. He had taught me so much. He was my hero. For Father's Day 1 year, I bought him. Where's Stephen Sammons? Where are you at, brother? Amen. He must be Roman, amen. He's floating, there he is. For 1 year for Father's Day, I bought my dad Access and Allies. And you say, "Why'd you do that?" So we could play it together. So we could just get together. My dad was a World War II historian, so it's no secret why when you go into my office, I have 2 shelves worth of World War II books. An entire collection of World War II magazines that I had given to my dad before he'd passed away, and then as he passed away, he gave them to me. Huh, think about it, folks. Think about the fellowship you have with your dad. The Bible says this, "We have an altar in Hebrews 13:10, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." Say, what was that? The altar was the place where God met with man. And just as I had fellowship with my dad and loved that fellowship, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest privileges of being born again, being adopted into the family of God, is that we can have fellowship with our Father. Amen. We can call Him Daddy. Papa. I love that when my boys do that to me. If you know anything about our family, we're very affectionate. Very affectionate, one with another, with our boys. I love the fact that when you see older boys, I think it was Miss Christie was telling me today about Austin, he's my little boy. Now, by the way, he's about 5'10", 210, amen? He's built like a truck, amen? But he's still her little boy. I love it when my boys come up to me and say, "Daddy, I love you." And Luke in particular put his face right on my leg. He wants me to do this with my hand. Why? Because I'm his papa. I'm his daddy. Lately, I've been just glorying in twilight walks that we take. We live in a beautiful neighborhood over off West Avenue, and it's just wonderful. It's almost all home-owned. We have wonderful, good neighbors, and we can just take a walk, and I love to walk with my boys and just have fellowship with them. You know, our Father loves that too. Amen. Our Father loves it when you fellowship with Him. Our Father loves it when you bend the knee in prayer. Amen. Our Father loves it when you open His Word and let Him talk to you. It's one of the privileges of adoption. Adopted by a great dad, our first privilege is fellowship. Our second privilege is sonship. It says right there in verse 6, or verse 5, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son." I had the privilege of being called the son of Rich Zavodsky Sr. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it sure means a lot to me. You see, I'm the son of the one that worked 7 a.m. to 5:30 for 37 years at a job that he disliked so I could have a roof over my head. Young people, did you hear that? A job he disliked. A job he disliked. But he knew it was right to provide for his family. So it didn't really matter what he liked. Boy, I tell you, we need more of that kind of character today. We need more of get rid of this self-pleasing. Well, if it just doesn't work out for me, forget that. Junk that. Amen. You make a commitment to your wife and to your children. Amen. The Bible talks about how if one provides not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. It's okay to work a job you may not like. Amen. He always had time to play catch. Always had extra money to take me to the batting cages and work on my swing. And I know many people have, even on our softball team, says, "Pastor, you hit the ball so hard. How do you do that?" I'll tell you how, Brother Tom. Rich Zavodsky Sr., that's how. When he took me to the park at twilight with 2 buckets of balls and threw until his arm hung. That's how that happens. He had the courage to discipline me when I did wrong. And it wasn't diagnosed of ADD. I did have ADD. And my dad wore his Ritalin right here. You didn't have to take it orally, Brother Jim. He applied it in a different area. You know why? I was his son. I was his son. By the way, he disciplines his sons. Don't you worry about correcting some other believer. God will do it. Amen. And he'll do a better job too. Amen. The best thing about sonship is it's forever. I'm forever the son of Rich Savotsky. That will never change. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see here, if you're a son of God, you can never be an unson of God. Amen. Adopted by a great dad. We have the privilege of fellowship. We have the privilege of sonship. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you're saved once and for all. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. One who has come to the Father never has to worry about the Father casting him out for some sin that he has committed, but he does have to deal with a father who disciplines him. You see, there's a big difference between sonship and fellowship. I'm thankful for fellowship. But there are times when I'm not in fellowship with God. And you're not either. But we're still His sons. Amen. We're still His sons. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10 says, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. I'll always be my daddy's, my Abba's son. I'll always be my daddy's son. Amen? Amen. Fellowship. Sonship. And thirdly, and last tonight, heirship. H-E-I-R. It says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, all that my dad once had is now mine. I'm sure he's laughing in heaven saying, right, every bill, every debt, every tax that I owed, I give to you, my beloved son. Amen. No, really though, I have some precious things that my dad had. I mentioned there's a stack of World War II magazines, Purnell's History of the World War II. My dad used to get them in the 70s. And because I was born in the 70s, they became wrecked in the 80s. And so several years ago, I was on eBay and I saw a set of them, complete set. And it was in England. And there was a customer that we dealt with in England that made parts for us. So I worked it out where the person from eBay in England delivered it to them, and when they shipped us the next product, they put all those in there for me. And I was able to give those to him. And now they're in my office after he passed away. I have things that were my dad's. I have right here on my keychain. This was my dad's. It doesn't mean anything to anybody but probably me and Mom. We went to Hawaii in 1988. My dad got this. It says, Rich, his Hawaiian name. By the way, it's my Hawaiian name too. Likey. Amen. Pastor Likey. Amen. This thing is all beat up and it's precious. It's precious. You know why? I'm an heir. As a matter of fact, in my family, sorry for you, Pastor Donald, but I'm the heir. Just me. Amen. You got to split it with Johnny and Katie. And amen. I'm the sole heir. If my dad would have had a son naturally and then adopted me, my brother and I would be joint heirs of all that he possessed. Verse 7 says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." All the splendor of heaven you and I get to enjoy because of Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God. See, we're not just servants, though praise God we do get to serve. We're sons. And because we're sons, we're also heirs. One day, all that the Father has, He's going to share with us. Isn't that just awesome? That's just so wonderful. Maybe you have a shortage of gratitude toward your father. You know, some of you say, "Well, my father wasn't all that nice, and he wasn't..." Just get away from that. Just get away from that. You didn't starve. Amen? You didn't starve. You didn't die of frostbite because you're still here tonight. Amen? He provided. But then I think of, maybe sometimes we have a shortage of gratitude toward our heavenly daddy. You know, all he does is give. And give. And give. And give. And give. Sometimes we in our flesh forget to say, "Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy." You know, as I've said so many times, there are three sins for which there are heavy penalties in our house. Lying. No need to lie. Just tell the truth. Amen. Amen. Stealing. And ingratitude. Only a dad with a tired face, coming home from the daily race, bringing little gold or fame to show how well he played the game, but glad in his heart that his own rejoice to see him come and hear his voice. Only a dad with a brood of four, one of 10 million men or more, plodding along in the daily strife, bearing the whips and scorns of life, with never a whimper of pain nor hate, for the sake of those who at home do wait. Only a dad, neither rich nor proud, merely one of the surging crowd, toiling, striving from day to day, facing whatever may come his way, silent whenever the harsh condemn, bearing it all for love of them. Only a dad, but he gives his all to smooth the way for his children small, doing with courage stern and brave the deeds that his father did for him. This is the line that I, for him I pen, only a dad, but the best of men. Hope you appreciate your dad tonight, but more than that, hope you appreciate your daddy, your heavenly daddy, your Abba Father, adopted by a great dad, fellowship, sonship, and heirship. Father,